There is only one podcast that can legitimately call itself the voice of reality TV. Download the show at rffradio.com. We are not sure if they can play nice with each other, so now, from separate studios deep in the Husker Nation of Nebraska and in the Big Apple, are Rob and Trevor with the Reality TV Podcast.
Welcome to the longest-running reality TV podcast on the internet. I'm Trevor.
And I am Rob, and someone in the chat room says, it's RFF Radio with Rob, Trevor, and John Moore.
Welcome to the official Joe Schmo podcast.
Yes, with, it is the official.
With Trevor and Rob. We're going to break down this week's episode of the show, and we're going to have a couple special guests for you.
As we have every week, I think, since the show began.
We're Spike TV's unpaid podcast.
Yeah. Oh my God, have we gotten ratings for Spike TV?
But listen, the show is excellent. I can't wait to go into it with Jay Hall and Moore.
So he's calling in tonight. He only has a few minutes. He'll be calling in at 15 past the hour.
I'm going to ask the question, and I think everyone in the chat room that watches Schmo is thinking the exact same thing. And that question is, was he peeing his pants when Carly started banging on the coffin and saying, get me out of there?
We're definitely going to squeeze a few questions out of him tonight. But and I don't know why I said he's calling at 15 past the hour, because you could literally be listening at 15 past the hour right now, and he's not going to call in for a little while. So in our world, right now, it's 8:03 right now, my time. He's going to be calling in at that quarter after. Mm-hmm. Or supposed to be. But you know these Hollywood types, you know.
Yeah, we're going to need to get Carly on the show at some point.
Yes.
Can we put in a request for her?
I will. I mean, I've tweeted her, but she's not really answering. Next week, it sounds like we will have Ralph Garman on.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Movie star, everything, you know.
Movie star Ralph Garman.
Movie star Ralph Garman.
The guy who gets us only one degree of separation away from Kevin Bacon.
His Kevin Bacon number is 2, I believe. No. You know what I found out? Fred Cross, the guy who was Carly's interpreter, has a Bacon number of 2. So that means our Bacon number is 3.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. We're closing in on Bacon.
Yeah, so Fred Cross and Rachel Blanchard were in My Uncle Raphael. And Rachel, and Kevin Bacon appeared in Where the Truth Lies.
Oh, wow. So we're right there. We're knocking right there. Off the door.
That's right. So, and Rob and Trevor know Fred Cross.
We just actually watched A Few Good Men this weekend. Great movie with Kevin Bacon in it.
Ah, Kevin Bacon's everywhere. I mean, let's be honest. So no, we've got a lot to talk.
You can't handle the truth.
They're under the ground. Oh. So we got Joe Schmo to talk about tonight. We have Survivor of the Amazing Race to talk about. And good news to everybody, starting next week, once again, I will be sitting down with some one-on-one time with all the amazing racers.
We're just coming with the special guests.
Yes. Yes, so starting next week, I will have the latest people kicked off of The Amazing Race, which it's going to be the cancer father and son.
Yeah, I mean, should we just start with them, do a quick blurb on The Amazing Race?
Yeah, I do want to talk a little bit about The Amazing Race, for sure.
Tough break, and when I got to say, rupturing your Achilles, that's a painful injury. You see football players or basketball players rupture their Achilles, and they look like they've been shot.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that he was able to get to the finish line, but you could see he couldn't walk.
He was,
when he was leaving away.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a painful freaking injury.
Yeah.
If it's a true Achilles rupturing, I mean, there's no way he can. I mean, you might as well just pack it up, because he's going to be on crutches for the rest of the race.
Can you run this race with crutches?
You know, I was thinking about that, and I would at least try.
I think I would, too.
Right? I mean, you'd obviously be a little more difficult from a divvying up the roadblocks perspective. You'd have to only be – anytime there's a roadblock that didn't involve a true physical activity, you'd have to give it to him, right?
Right, right.
But, I mean, I would at least try. I would absolutely try.
We'll see how bad the Amazing Race producers want to keep this family in the race. Because if the next roadblock is who's ever fastest on crutches,
You'll have the choice of two Roblox. One is a very physical activity, and the other involves sitting in a chair with your leg out while answering some mathematical questions.
Yes. What's it going to be?
Yeah, I felt bad because Dave and Connor have been one of my favorite teams on the show. I was rooting for them.
I didn't like them. For some reason, they just, I don't know. I just, they're not my favorite team ever.
Yeah, I like them. I mean, of the teams that were on the show, I thought I was rooting for them a little bit. So, the teams I'm beginning to dislike are John and Jessica. Yeah, I just feel like they're a little cocky. There's a little too much Nick and Star in them. Like, they seem like they're the favorites, that they're going to run away with the race, and so you don't want to root for them. It's like rooting for the Yankees.
Like somebody said in the chat room last week, they're like, John and Jessica were scientifically designed to run this race, and I am beginning to think that. They were test tube babies back in the day.
They
were bred for the amazing race.
The problem is Bates and Anthony. Is Bates and Anthony are a little smarter than probably people gave them credit for.
Okay.
They're very physically, they're going to be tough in any physical challenge. And you can see they're kind of coming into their own on the race.
Here is where you and I are going to part roads on and go polar opposite on this team. I think this is my opinion. They think that they're a bigger threat than they actually are.
You see, I have them right now. I think I may have put them in my final four at the beginning of the year. I'm fairly certain that they're going to get there. They're going to be John and Jessica's biggest threat, biggest opposition.
I just don't see it. I don't see them being such a major threat because, to me, they're just a couple of doofuses, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the fact that they think that they're a huge threat in this race, and I just don't see it. I just do not see it.
The other team that I like that I'm rooting for that's quietly been surprising, I think, is Team Alabama.
Oh, Chuck and Winona.
Yes, I like Chuck and Winona.
Is his hair real? I mean, is that for real?
That hair is awesome. That hair is just awesome.
I just don't know if it's real or not.
That's the Larry Bird mullet, and that's fantastic work on
just,
his part.
I think it's a wig. I just, the way it sparkles in the sunshine.
I've been calling him the legend every time I see him on TV. I
don't think it's real.
that's the Larry Legend haircut from when, yeah, I mean, that's the mullet right there. That's awesome.
Did Winona call Joey Richard Simmons at the pit stop?
Yes, and I thought that was hysterical. Chuck and Winona are the only team on the show that I would categorize as probably fans of the show, you know, really wanted to get on it, got on the show, you know, happy to be there. You got to root for Chuck and Winona. I'm doing it. And I think they're actually better than people gave them credit for. I feel like they're a good team, right? Good team unity.
They do have good team unity, but she is very slow.
Although she's already done one roadblock. She
has. She
handled it.
Yeah. I mean, she's not terrible. She's just not fast.
They're a touch smarter than people probably thought.
No, I don't think so. I disagree. Again, I disagree.
I think they're a touch smarter than people probably gave them credit for at the beginning of the race.
I think they're smarter than Bates and Anthony. Because I know people out there are going to disagree with what I'm saying here tonight. I just don't see Bates and Anthony as the big threat. I actually see Chuck and Winona as a bigger threat than Bates and Anthony.
Well, I like Chuck and Winona. I think they can get far in this game.
I think Chuck and Winona have a few tricks up their sleeves. I really do. Do I think that they're a major threat? Absolutely not. But I think they've got a couple tricks up their sleeve that's going to help them. And their likability factor is definitely going to help them with other racers along the way.
What do you think about John and Jessica basically, like, you know, already not holding up their express pass bargain, right?
Right.
Wouldn't it make sense for them to try to help out Dave and Connor when they need it the most now?
No. Why would you give it to somebody who's obviously going to be eliminated very soon?
Well, because they're obviously going to be eliminated.
But
if they're a weaker team, fire them, I wouldn't give it to a strong team. No. I'd much rather give the express pass to a weak team.
I probably would too, but I want to give it to somebody who can help me along the way and who's going to owe me something down the line. You don't want to give it to some straggler at the end of the pack. You want to give it to somebody who's probably at the middle of the pack, but that you can hold over them for a while. Something that they owe you.
See, I think you want to give it to as weak a team as possible.
Have you not been watching The House of Cards and learned anything from Frances Underwood?
By the way, I got to the part where...
Yeah, let's talk about that later. We can't ruin it for people. We cannot ruin it for people.
Oh, God. Tremendous episode 11.
Jen McCart... Or Jen. I'm just going to say Jen. Jen M. said, what do you think of the cast of Celebrity Apprentice? I didn't even know the new cast was out.
Should we just alright? Who do you have getting?
No! We still have more to talk about here. I have to pull up this cast though. Oh yeah. We've talked about this. It's returns. It looks like you have Penn and Lil Jon. Yeah, let's not get sidetracked. We'll talk about this here in a little bit, but let's keep on the Amazing Race. Everybody seems to hate Joey and Megan, the YouTube hosts.
The problem with that casting decision is that it feels just so contrived, right? It just feels like, it feels like a cheap ratings ploy almost. Like, all right, maybe if we get them, we'll pick up the people that listen to watch them on YouTube, and that might help us in the rating. Right? Do you think Survivor takes that into account when they're making casting decisions? No. Survivor just casts, they don't go, this guy's got a YouTube following, maybe we should cast them on the show. Survivor's too big, they don't need to do that. Right? And I feel like the Amazing Race, I understand why Amazing Race fans are upset about that casting decision. Mm-hmm. And I think I agree with them that, it just feels like, Amazing Race is reaching a little bit.
Well, and I said that too with Dave and Connor. You're casting a story before you're casting the people. And mm-hmm. I think that goes for Joey and Megan. I mean, I'm tired of the gimmick and casting. Nowhere Man in the chat room says Survivor has had all-time worst ratings. That's not good.
Yeah, but you have to watch. Survivor's ratings are like a pyramid. They'll start off low and they go up over time.
Yeah, it's like an upside-down pyramid.
Just watch. By the end of the season, more and more people can continue getting into the show. I know people who are Survivor fans that don't really start getting into it until about their five or six episodes in.
Someone in the chat room made a good point, too. Survivor casts NFL coaches and former child stars and previous contestants. It's kind of
a
good
point.
Yeah,
that's different. It felt a little different. I mean, Gary Hogerboom wasn't an NFL star. He was a backup quarterback in the NFL. Jeff Kent, he was a star baseball player. But he was also a fan of the show, I would say.
Yeah, I think he probably was. But
Jeff Kent knew a lot about Survivor history. Yeah, that did not feel, that definitely didn't feel the same. I'll say that.
I don't think, in terms of The Amazing Race, this is the worst cast they've ever had. But it's kind of up there. I mean, Max and Katie, the newlyweds, wow, are they unlikable. Wow.
Yeah, they're definitely cast to be unlikable also.
I think you're right. I think you're right. They were cast to kind of be the villain of the crew.
I mean, I think what they're hoping, and I actually don't think Max and Katie have been enough of it. I think what they're hoping was that Max and Katie would be a little more like Jonathan and Victoria, and that hasn't happened. Max and Katie seem like they get along with each other. Just that they rub everybody else the wrong way.
Yeah, and the viewers, too.
And the viewers, too, definitely.
I kind of wanted to stay on The Amazing Race till John Moore called in. That's kind of my goal.
Who do you have getting eliminated off The Amazing Race?
I would say that Max and Katie probably are in big trouble. I mean, Pam and Winnie are right down there, but I feel like they've got a few tricks up their sleeves, too. Those two are smart. If you want to talk about somebody who's smart, it's Pam and Winnie.
Pam and Winnie Ursula, I think they're going to survive and flourish in the race. Now, you don't think Dave and Connor, do you think they get medically disqualified?
Oh, yeah.
Think they just go?
Yeah, I don't think that's even a question. I think he's medically disqualified.
Now, can you try? Let's say he wanted to race. Would the doctors let him?
Probably not.
Or is it
not.
Like Survivor where they rule you out?
I would think it's probably like Survivor. You can't risk injuring it some more.
So now, if he's eliminated, so that means you think there's going to be two teams eliminated next week?
Yes.
All right, I'll go with you. I think Dave and Connor are going to go home.
Or they eliminate Dave and Connor and do a non-elimination.
See, I was thinking they could do a non. That's what might happen, or make it like a two-week leg.
That'd be a tragedy. Can we talk about the doctors and wanting to take a penalty immediately when they saw it was a water challenge?
I felt bad for them.
It did.
The only thing I would say is, I thought they could have, you didn't really have to swim as much as you had to pull the rope down.
Right.
I guess you could have done that. It's a tough break for them.
Ed on Twitter tweeted me, and it made me laugh. He's like, really? The Amazing Race had to know that multiple swimming challenges would be the nail in the coffin for the brothers. # conspiracy. It made me laugh.
I felt terrible for them.
I did too. I mean, how do you have, regardless, they made so many swimming challenges, and it seems like they know when somebody is not good at swimming. I mean, obviously, it has to come up in your interviews and in your profile. I'm not a good swimmer. Okay, let's do 8 swimming challenges in a row.
Yeah, and plus they made them ride the canoe across also.
True.
I feel bad, especially because I thought that was a really good team. That would have been a tough out. I thought they were a smart team. I thought they were a good team. I just thought, you know, it was a tough break for them on that challenge.
Yeah, it really was kind of a tough break. I mean, you do get unlucky. I mean, and we've talked to how many racers in the past, and they all say luck plays a huge part in this game. And it's just unluckiness right there. It just simply is unluckiness.
I like that they kept going after it, though. They didn't quit, which I thought was good.
Well, you can't. You can't take a 6-hour penalty.
No. Yeah, I mean, right off the bat. It's just... It's a tough break for them. I actually thought they were a tough team. I had them making my final four, so I already lost the team early.
Yeah. Did I have those written down? I wrote those down. Oh, here's Jay Hollenmore. Hello?
What's going on?
Hey, there's the hardest working man in Hollywood on the phone with us. It is Jay Hollenmore from the executive producer of Spike TV's The Joe Schmo Show. Everybody says you're the third co-host on the show. Congratulations.
That's funny. That's hysterical.
How are you tonight?
Yeah, I'll take it. I'm doing great. I hope you can hear my cell phone all right. I'm in a weird area sometimes here.
Well, if you drop us, just give us a call back.
Exactly. So I have something.
Go ahead, John.
Go ahead. Well, I have something I want your listeners to get onto since they've been so supportive of us. I have this idea when I was live tweeting the show after the show Tuesday night. And what I want to do is if you can do an impression of one of the cast members, do a video, put it on YouTube, tweet me the link. And the one that I like the best, it's completely me judging it, nothing to do with the network, but the one that I like best will get a phone call with me and the cast member of their choice.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
So if you want to talk to Wanda... or you want to talk to Jake or Carly or anybody, put that video up, tweet me the link, and you have until an hour before the finale on March 5th. I'm going to shut it off an hour before the finale. So, and then I'll look at them all and make a pick, and then you get to pick. Like, you don't have to pick. Like, whoever you're doing the impression of doesn't have to be the person that you have the phone call with. But it's whoever wins will get a phone call with the cast member of their choice.
Well, that is so nice of you to rig a competition for Rob to win. That is so nice of you.
I haven't seen his impression.
No, that is awesome. That's a great idea. That is a great idea.
Yeah, you know, I think it'd be fun. Your listeners have been so supportive, and you've been so supportive. You know, I wanted to do something, and I know the cast would be thrilled to do it. So start working on those impressions and put them up there.
Get on YouTube, everybody. And they need to tweet you. What is your Twitter handle, just so they know?
I am at J Holland Moore. JHOLLANDMOORE.
There you go.
Apparently, I couldn't find a longer name. That's as long as I could get it.
That is a great idea. I like that. You're going to get some funny fucking impressions, I think.
I hope so. I'm sure. Whenever people start doing impressions, it's always funny. You know, the entire cast. Everybody has at one point done an impression of me, which is not that flattering. I got to be honest with you. Apparently, I just sound like a big hillbilly or something.
Where are you originally from? That's a great question. Where are you originally from?
You know, I grew up in Kentucky, and then I lived in Nashville for a long time.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you do have that southern drawl.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I don't hear it myself, I guess, because I'm from there. I think that's how everyone should talk. But, you know, sometimes I would watch, you know, the video footage of everything we shot, and I have a hard time understanding me sometimes.
Oh, I'm glad that I'm not the only one that has that problem. Yeah. Can't understand myself what? Either.
I'm like, what is wrong with my accent here? Now, but, that's just growing up in Kentucky.
Now, Trevor's got a question. Oh, go ahead. What else did you have?
Well, I was just going to say, some people find that accent charming.
It is. It's very charming. I love it. Now, Trevor's got a question for you, and then I have a question from the chat room. I know you don't have a lot of time, but we got to squeeze a few questions out of you.
I got to ask you because last week's episode was riveting. How much were you shitting your pants when Carly starts banging on that coffin and wants out of it?
You know, I was going nuts because I knew how tough it was for her to do that. You know, that was one of those points where, you know, we're just doing TV here. So I don't want to mess with anyone's life. And not that, I mean, her life was never in danger. I'm not saying that. But someone who has, like, that severe claustrophobia, it's very traumatic. And, you know, when she was in that box at that point, I was like, we got to get her out of there. She's not acting. And I couldn't communicate enough to everyone in the control. Like, because a lot of people in the control are like, no, she's just acting. And that's why you kind of see me yelling there for a second. I'm like, we got to get her out because she's, you know, it's pretty serious. And it's funny, like, if you notice, I can probably, I don't think she'd mind if I say this, some of her interviews around that time, after that event, she's a little more low-key because she, they had to give her a Xanax.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
we didn't have to give her one, she took one.
Yeah.
You know, it was really traumatic for her, and you know, she did a great job. You know, she's been taking a lot of some heat on Twitter, and I'm like, no, I mean, we knew it might not work. It wasn't her fault.
Yeah.
But you know, she was such a champ during that. Luckily, I don't suffer from claustrophobia. You know, I'm good. Have you ever been to St. Louis?
No, I've not.
Well, if you go to St. Louis, you know they got the big arch there.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And to go to the top of the arch, they put you in, and I've never been claustrophobic until this moment, they put you in this little egg-shaped,
it's like an elevator.
It's like an elevator, but you're in an egg,
uh-huh.
And it's really tight, and you're in there with, like, I think there was five of us,
mm-hmm.
And it's super tight.
I've heard that it's tight in there, and not only that, but you're inside the arch. It's not outside of the arch. You're inside, and that
exactly.
probably makes it worse.
It doesn't move fast.
Oof!
Like it goes slow, and it's so high up there, and I started freaking out. Like the second I got to the top, I couldn't enjoy it because all I wanted to do was get back down to the bottom.
Yeah, it sounds terrible. I don't know if I would handle that.
Oh, it's tough. It's so tough.
Well, I have to get.
I kind of felt what she was going through there, and it's so rough, and I can't thank her enough for even attempting it.
I have to give her a lot of credit because she kept the deaf voice through
absolutely.
The whole thing. That's tough. But Bongo in the chat room said that he heard a rumor that you guys filmed several seasons back-to-back to be aired later. Is there any truth to that?
No truth to that whatsoever.
That is a bummer.
I would be so happy. And, you know, we actually discussed it. But, you know, it's such an expensive show to do.
Yeah.
That you really, you know, the network wanted to see, you know, what kind of numbers and all that good stuff before they committed to doing two of them back-to-back.
Yeah.
But we did talk about it. I wish that were true.
Well, bummer. That sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
So March 5th is the finale.
It's the finale. I just came back. I'm on my way back from the final audio mix of it. You know, you sit in a room and make sure you can hear everything.
Right.
And it's pretty good, I gotta be honest with you.
Oh, my God.
I think you're going to really enjoy it. And we have, let me see how I can phrase this. In that episode, we bring in somebody very important to Chase.
Ah.
Okay.
And it plays out. It's crazy. It's crazy. You're gonna love it. It's a nice capper to everything.
I didn't know
like
Mr. Wentworth meant so much to him.
Exactly. But, you know, he's an addictive little character, you know. You spend some time with him.
Here's one more question. You guys brought back Lorenzo Lamas this week. Was allowed to bring back... Rob Belushi was allowed to bring back somebody. He chose, and so Lorenzo Lamas got chosen. Why was he the one picked and not a Randy who's just been awesome this entire season?
We, you know, it's something we scripted before. Like, we always knew how we were going to bring Lorenzo, back. But we, after all the craziness that went down, our original plan of bringing him, the way we were going to bring him back, it could have been a little too much, and so we were always going to do it. And then Ralph had that great idea after Chase evicted somebody to let one of the other guys bring somebody back. And it was actually Chico that got to pick.
Okay.
So we knew he was always coming back. We just didn't know how he was going to do it. Originally, it was going to be as soon as he got evicted, he started a Twitter campaign. And of course, they were gonna, you know, the people were gonna complain. Like, what do you mean, you're a celebrity? And he's like, hey, it's not my fault. I put everybody's name down who was evicted, you know, who they would most like to see come back. And then the network just couldn't ignore those Twitter numbers, so they decided to bring it. That's what we were gonna do.
Oh, that would have been great.
That would have been good. Like,
it was. He's so great when he comes back, and I'm really happy because, you know, we had so much stuff, such great stuff here that we had to cut out because we just didn't have time. And when he comes back, there's a few flashbacks in there. So you get to see some of Lorenzo's greatness. You know, he he does this thing where he puts on a full swim, like a diver suit, and stands by the pool, but then he stretches and then just kind of falls into the pool. That is just hysterical. So good.
Oh, my goodness. Now, I just got a new episode of More Stories on my iPod or my iPhone here tonight.
How about that?
And, yeah, it seems that John Moore was on that recently. That's so weird.
Yeah, it's Jay's been a good friend of mine for years. I worked with him on a show called More Sports.
Oh, wow.
Years ago. And, you know, we've been good friends ever since then. And he had me on his podcast. And kind of embarrassing because I didn't realize, if you listen to it, you hear the conversation comes up, and now, looking back on it, I realize I was just an idiot, but I didn't realize that dogs got periods.
I guess I was unaware of that myself.
I know how that conversation started and the genesis of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just to me, like, I was like, well, you know, if dogs have periods, there would be spots everywhere. and then I learned about this whole thing with doggy diapers that I didn't know about, like.
Oh, my God.
I guess just about every animal would have a period. Every female animal would have a period.
I can't wait to hear this episode now. I'm glad it's on my phone. I'll be sure to plug the headphones in at work tomorrow.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, and Jay does. I'm getting to do my favorite impression, Luis Guzman, that actor, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Jay does an impression of him that is awesome. So I had him do a bunch of that. It's a fun episode.
Oh, I'll have to listen to it. Well, Mr. Moore, thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, thank you. Thank you guys for all your support.
Well, no problem. And you're definitely going to be back after the finale airs, right?
Absolutely. And if a certain person has calmed down, we'll have a special guest for you.
That'd be great. I always love having your special guests on.
This one, I think you'll really enjoy.
Good. Oh, my God.
He may be the star of the show.
Oh boy. I can't wait. I think Ralph's coming on next week. I think Ralph is coming on our show next week.
Yeah, I think, yes, he is. I told him to make sure and do it. You guys are good guys.
Well, thank you so much. Wait, you have a good evening. Thank you once again, guys, for calling in, and you can watch the Joe Schmo Show every Tuesday night on Spike TV at 10.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks so much, John.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
See ya. And there's John Moore.
Awesome.
Probably the best friend of the show we've ever had.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Oh, can't thank him enough. I don't know.
Yeah, and the show has just been great. It's been great all season.
Yeah, I mean, so I do want to touch a little bit on the Joe Schmo Show this week, and then we'll get on to Survivor, because there's a lot to talk about with Survivor. The fact that they tried to bury Carly, and she's in this box with Stan.
That was crazy. That's why I think I almost interrupted them twice. I had to ask that. I was dying to ask that. When I was watching on TV, I was like, oh my God. Because she started yelling and screaming, like, get me the heck out of this thing.
She sure was.
Character, though, which I admire.
Yeah, I cannot believe that she was able to stay in character like she was. I really can't. I just, for her to come out of there freaking out and still able to do the deaf voice is just incredible. I mean, that's how committed these people are.
No, it was incredible. And that was riveting television as it was happening.
Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna call you back real quick. You're breaking up, so we're gonna make a reconnection with you. Skype is our friend, you know. We always have our fun. I wonder if that voice was added later. I don't think that voice was added in later. Her deaf voice. I bet she stayed in character.
No, I think that was legit fear.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was too. But wow, and then the fact that they had to come up with an eviction ceremony because she wasn't able to finish it. That's the tough part. The thing that also surprises me is that they give Chase so much power, and they really didn't know what he was going to do. I'm surprised he evicted Randy there at the end and not Chico.
I was surprised, too, especially because, if you watch a lot of reality TV, the sensible decision is always to drag somebody like Randy to the finals with you.
Absolutely.
And evict somebody like Chico or Rob Belushi, who may win the whole thing, right? But, he evicted Randy, and that's why I was actually surprised. It was Chico. I had said Rob Belushi, but it was Chico.
Yeah.
But that they brought back Lorenzo Lamas. But I guess like Jay Hollamore saying that was in the works to bring back Lorenzo Lamas.
Well, because he's a big star.
Well, I think ideally they wanted Randy there also at the end.
I think you're right. I think if they would have had their choice, it would have been Chico gone.
Yeah, I think they would have had Chico gone. It would have been Randy, Rob Belushi, Lorenzo, and Lorenzo Lamas as the other three.
Yeah. Lorenzo is a great character. I mean, he really...
Oh, he's tremendous. Lorenzo Lamas is awesome. I mean, there's been a lot of great characters they've evicted. I mean, Lavernius is one of the five funniest characters, and they got rid of him pretty early.
Yeah, they did, but there's only so much you can do, and I think we've talked about this before. I mean, he was up to... I mean, his story was pretty much, you know...
It was ridiculously funny.
It was ridiculously funny, but...
The whole Skylar Lavernius thing was tremendous.
It kind of what? Well, Skylar's storyline was kind of tremendous. I mean, the fact
Skylar
that...
was a tremendous character the entire season,
yeah.
I felt.
Yeah.
I was sad to see her go.
I will say this. Watching the Joe Schmo show and having the interaction with the cast that we've had has probably been one of the funnest experiences I've ever gotten to experience while doing this podcast. I mean, seriously.
Especially because we kind of just picked that show out because we were trying to fill the dead space. Oh, Joe Schmo's coming back. I liked that when it was on. You know, if you're Spike, that has to be the highest rated show they have on that channel.
It's got to be right up there. I mean, I cannot list another show that's on Spike TV.
Honestly, the only other shows I know on Spike are like, they have like the Police Chase show. And aren't they trying to do some ripoff of The Ultimate Fighter?
Is Spike TV doing the robot war, the robot thing? Which channel did I see?
It must be Spike. Spike has commercials for shows that they show during Joe Schmo that I never watch ever.
Yeah.
Bar Rescue? I mean, that's what's on Spike right now.
Oh, yeah. I've watched that show because it's on before Joe Schmo.
Yeah. I mean, here's their lineup. Their 8 o'clock lineup tomorrow. World's Worst Tenants for 2 hours. And then Joe Schmo show, and then World's Worst Tenants again for like the rest of the night. I mean, if you're Spike, they should give Joe Schmo like a 5-season contract.
Yeah, you really.
There's
should.
Nothing else. I'm looking at their primetime schedule right now. Wednesdays, they're showing the movie The Expendables, which was a terrible movie when it came out in 2010.
Know what? It's a guy's movie, though. I mean,
And then The Punisher from 10/25 to 1/11. Anytime you see the movie, I mean, this movie, 2 stars.
Yeah.
Can't be that.
Yeah, but yeah. Trevor, not every movie's Silver Linings Playbook like you like.
Yeah, I just like well-written movie. I like, that was a good movie, by the way, and so is Argo.
God.
This is actually a really good. Let's do a quick out of reality. This is a really good year for movies.
No, it hasn't. I haven't seen nor do I have any.
Argo is fantastic. Argo definitely deserved to win.
I have not seen any of the nominated movies that were nominated this year. Nor do I have any real, ambition to see any of them.
You'll want to see Argo, and you'll want to see Zero Dark Thirty. Also,
I probably okay. I've heard that Argo is so far away from the truth, though, that it's ridiculous.
It was a really good movie.
Well, I suppose it was a really good movie, but they took a true premise and just made a movie around it, is what I understand.
I heard it's not that. Well, you ever can tell we weren't there.
That's
Zero
true.
Dark Thirty is tremendous, though, also. And you know, I heard Lincoln is good, although I haven't watched it.
Davey says, Rob, well, I heard that Lincoln is very long and slow. But Davey says, Rob hated this year's movies because there is no Tremors 8. And that's true. Astronaut NZ in the chat room says, did you see that the actress that played Skylar gets naked on Californication this week? Or this season?
Really? And what episode is that?
I don't know, but I'm going to have to go download it. Watch it.
Ask if the episode already happened or if it's coming up.
Yeah, let us know, chat room. Somebody be our brain.
Because if it's already happened, then I'm going to have to go through on demand at some point. But if it's coming up, I can always...
Episode 5. Of the current season.
What's the name of the episode, people? Is it In the Clouds? Is it the one that's on tonight at midnight?
Yeah, I'm not sure you'll find... I'm sure... Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you'll find it on Google. Yeah, you know what? I'll just Google her later.
As the cast is listening to the show, right? You're like, disgusting pervert.
Yeah. Sorry, Skylar.
Yeah, we're sorry about that. As you're Googling Californication, I'm flipping through my guide right now. we didn't mean that.
We are perverts. So should we talk a little bit? I want to read off the Apprentice cast, and then we'll talk about Survivor.
All right, let's shoot.
So there's two teams this year, and it doesn't look like it's men versus women. But Wikipedia has one named Power, and the other team named Plan B.
Yeah, that episode did already happen. It happened 2 weeks ago.
Okay. But you have Trace Adkins, Stephen Baldwin, Gary Busey, Mary Lou Henner, LaToya Jackson, Penn Jillette, Lil Jon, Claudia Jordan, Omarosa, Brett Michaels, Lisa Rinna, Brandi Roderick, Dennis Rodman, and Dee Snider all coming back. And the Celebrity Apprentice starts March 3rd.
Awesome.
And that's our sidetrack into Celebrity Apprentice.
I can be honest and say I'm probably not going to watch a minute of that.
You know, I don't hate Celebrity Apprentice. It is something...
Why don't you bring back Aubrey O'Day? She was the best character on the show in the last three seasons.
No, she was not. Everyone hated her.
That's why I thought she actually made the show watchable.
You're right. Her and Lisa Lampanelli.
I mean, seriously, bring back somebody who at least makes the show interesting. Like Survivor has done... By reinvigorating the show with Philip back on the air again.
Jesus, Philip. Can we... enough the with the Philip.
The specialist.
I don't need Philip, and I don't need Brandon.
Brandon is really... you're right. I need Philip on the show, but I do not need Brandon on the show. They get rid of Brandon. I hope Brandon goes next week, in all honesty.
You know, I think Cochran said it right. He swings so rapidly from one extreme to the other. At one minute, he is, I'm going to tear this camp down. I'm going to pee and everything. I'm going to burn it to the ground. To, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so glad to be here. It's just so much fun, and I want to be friends, and let's work together. I'm just tired of it, you fucking psychopath. I'm just tired of it.
No, I mean, obviously he's going to be the first one of the favorites, the next favorite that goes, right?
Yeah,
he has to be. Has to be him that's gone next. Interesting thing that's going on with the fans camp. Reynolds, I think, basically sealed Allie's fate.
He did.
And, I mean, I think... They're gonna flush that idol. I think he has sealed the fate of himself, and the other two pretty kids over there.
Now, does Reynolds have the idol or does Eddie?
Reynolds has the idol.
I thought it was Eddie. Somebody in the chat room, prove me correct. Nah, I don't know. I thought it was Eddie.
I thought it was Reynolds. I could be wrong.
Reynolds was the one that called out Shamar.
Yeah, that's the guy who has the idol.
Malcolm's big... Oh, it must be, because Davey says Malcolm's big balls versus Reynolds' bulge.
Yeah, Reynolds won with the idol.
Okay.
And the other... But it's the pretty alliance, right? It's him and the other two.
Him and Eddie and Hope are the ones that are left now.
Yeah, and the other side basically has five.
Yeah.
Right?
Led by Sherry, which yeah, she came out of nowhere.
Sherry, she's trying to pull a Boston Rob and wants to bring Shamar all the way to the end with her, which, you know, is the move you should make in a show like Survivor.
But did you see the previews for next week? Shamar just goes off the deep end, it looks like.
I know. That's why Sherry wants to bring him all the way to the end. She's going to try to carry him. And here's the thing. It's going to be pretty easy for her to say, let's vote off Eddie or the other one next week, because there's five of them. In order to flush the idol, they need to vote out one more person.
They really kind of do, yeah.
Right? They have to vote out one of the three people and take the chance, because, right, you know, take the chance that Reynolds may hand somebody else the idol, but they have to make a silent vote, stick together as a unit, and vote and have a 5-3 vote off of one of the pretty people. Get it down to two, and then you can flush the idol.
You know, but again, props to Reynolds for saying, hey, I have an idol. Are you going to use it? The fuck no. I'm not going to use it.
Well, it's interesting. Is the moment that that came out was the moment that you knew Allie was definitely being voted off the show. Because then the other five knew, well, oh shit, if he has the idol, then we have to start picking off his friends.
I think that Allie's fate was sealed long before he ever pulled that idol out. I really do. Sherry had the numbers before he pulled the idol out to get rid of Allie. If Reynolds was smart, but you know, it's really tough.
Reynolds didn't know that Allie was the target.
No, though. He really didn't.
And he thought he had a... Who's the guy with the long hair and the big beard?
Long hair, don't care. Michael? No, that's the Matt. Matt is his name.
He thought they had Matt.
Yeah.
Which, in hindsight, was probably not the smartest thing to think, because.
But Matt and Michael did vote Allie out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did vote, and Matt and Michael—they're not stupid. Matt and Michael are playing this game together.
They are.
And I think Sherry, who's the woman that called out Reynolds having the idol? What's her name?
Laura or Julia? I'm having a hard time with the cast still, folks. Sorry.
Yeah, I think Sherry, that woman, and Shamar are going to be a three. Sherry's going to try to ride that three all the way to the end.
Yeah. It was Laura. They're saying in the chat room it was Laura.
Yeah.
And which is kind of surprising to me.
Why would you ever wear tight pants on a show like Survivor?
What's that?
Why would you ever wear tight pants or shorts on a show like Survivor?
You mean like Eddie?
Well, like Reynolds did. That's why he got caught with the idols, because his freaking pants are too tight.
Well, yeah, but have you seen Eddie's fucking pants? It's like he wants to show his cock off.
Listen, don't you know when you're on this show, you have to have one of those big cargo parachute shorts that with all the pockets in it.
Yeah. He's dumb. I mean, Reynolds, Eddie, the hot alliance with Hope and because Hope is really attractive and Allie was really attractive.
Yeah, I felt bad about that.
I did too. But the Young People's Alliance, I'm surprised that Laura did not fall in with those people, because she's the same age as Hope. She's the same age as, well, Allie's.
She probably had, they gave off they're the pretty girl vibe, and Laura kind of, I think she kind of felt more comfortable with Sherry.
Maybe. Sherry is impressive.
Seems like she did a really good job of cobbling together her people.
Yeah.
It seems like Sherry immediately was like, all right, I need to get five together.
Well, the thing is, Sherry saw those four gravitate towards each other, so she's like, I want everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I want everyone else. And Davey says, Laura is smart. That's why she went with Sherry. That's probably true. But I think Sherry saw Hope and Eddie, Allie and Reynolds all align, and Sherry goes, I need everyone else. And she was able to pull it off. I give Sherry a lot of credit. A lot of credit.
You can tell that Sherry's watched this game.
Yeah.
She's definitely a fan of the show. She's already thinking endgame.
She is.
She's already thinking, gotta get the numbers. Once I have the, gotta get to the end. Right? Yeah, I mean, for her to already be thinking, I'm going to try to drag Shamar all the way to the end with me. I mean, that's a Boston Rob move.
It's very scary, though, because it's day six. and but I'm serious. I know you laugh. I'm very serious. It's day 6 on the island, and she's already thinking of day 36. And I'm not sure that has worked out for too many people. I'm really excited to see how it works out for her, because there's always twists and turns in this game. And something's going to come along, a bump in the road, that she's probably not going to survive, because she hasn't formed a core alliance. She basically has an alliance right now against three other people. It's her side against the other three. And that's a scary position to be in, because she can easily get mixed up with those other three on another tribe and get voted out.
Yeah, now it seems like both sides now have a power alliance already going.
Absolutely. Because
you have the Philip Corinne, the everybody but Brandon Hance alliance on the favorite side, and then the fan side is a power alliance also.
Yeah. Yeah, I so much can happen. So much can happen. It looks like Malcolm and Corinne maybe have an alliance forming this week. I mean, they're kind of teasing that on Facebook today. So I'm interested to see how that plays out, because I think Malcolm and Corinne pairing up with each other, that's insanity. I mean, that is going to be a couple of strong players right there.
Mm-hmm.
I like both of them a lot. I like Dawn. Dawn is putting too much.
Dawn is trying so hard to not repeat her mistakes of last time she was on the show, and she was kind of the dominant female.
But she's putting too much. She's putting too much in Cochran's basket. I mean, she really is. She needs to not do that again, because that's what got her burned the first time.
Yeah. Although Cochran seems like he's playing a pretty good wise game right now.
Yeah, I think he is right now. But
what I think helps out the favorites is that their next vote is going to be really easy, so they're not even really arguing amongst each other yet.
No.
Because everybody on that island just wants Brandon Hance to go home.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, and when you're united like that, you know, and you'll have to make a hard vote, I think that's good for you. And why has Brandon Hance got, like, a stick in his ear? Do you notice that?
Oh, my God. Thank you for bringing that up. Maybe that stupid fuck wouldn't be so angry if he didn't have a frickin' tree poking out of his ear.
What is that? Now, is that, like, an earring? Or
Who fucking knows? What?
That was like he took a stick and just shoved it through his ear.
A douche. Brandon Hance...
But it wasn't in during the challenge.
No.
So, I mean, he takes it out and puts it in, so it must be some kind of earring of some sort. But I was trying to figure out what that was at first on TV.
It's a frickin' tree poking out of his head. He's an idiot, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm not rooting for him, so... Yeah, he went after Philip, and I've always been a big fan of Philip, so I'm not happy with that.
I want to know if there's anybody in the chat room right now, if you're a fan of Brandon Hance. Because if you are, you're going to get banned.
And what's interesting is we actually rooted for Russell.
We did. I liked Russell. But Russell, here's the thing. At least Russell was a consistent asshole. Russell was an ass the whole time.
I actually felt bad when Russell got eliminated. The final time, and when like realization set in that he was never going to win Survivor, you could see it affect him because he loved the game, and I really felt bad for Russell at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Brandon switches back and forth from being a total ass to I'm just so sorry. I want everybody to just get along, and I just can't stand it. Pick one side and stick with it, Brandon. That's all I want, but. You can't, because I think you're a bipolar psychopath.
It's definitely he's not making any fans this season.
No. No. Thank God.
So,
who do you have going home?
Who do I have going home? I think it's going to be one of the three pretty people.
I do too.
I'm going to say Eddie. I'm going to say they vote off the other guy.
I think that Hope will probably be the And there goes my hopes of hope.
Think they go hope over Eddie?
Yes, I do. Keep the team strong. But if we can't keep the team strong, we're going to get rid of a check.
Yeah, I guess you get rid of hope. And then you can flush out Reynolds' idol.
Right.
And then you have 5-2 voting advantage.
Yeah.
You just vote three votes for Reynolds and 2 votes for Eddie or something like that.
I don't know. Shamar better keep his mouth shut, though. I mean, because people are...
Shamar sleeps 19 hours a day, so he should be fine.
Even if he is on their side, people are going to get fed up with that awful quick. And I can see Michael and Matt, long hair, don't care, getting real sick of that quick and flipping sides.
What they don't realize, and that we already kind of see at home, is Sherry kind of views them as kind of ancillary to her plans.
Absolutely, and I think they know that too.
I think what they need to watch out is that when it gets down to them five, Sherry is bringing Laura and Shamar with her. She's voting out the other two.
KFN Dog brings up a good point. They can get rid of the idol this week with a 3-3-3 vote. I don't know how that would work because there is 9 of them left on that side, right?
They could. They would have. See, but in order to do that, they'd have to get buy-in from one of the pretty people.
No, not necessarily.
Because they control 5 votes.
They control 6 votes.
Oh, shit, you're right. They do control 6 votes. Yeah, because they have Michael, Max. Yeah, they do control 6 votes. You're right.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I just think that they'll get rid of Hope because they won't suspect her. I don't think Reynolds is just – it's a power move at this point, and it's buying Reynolds a few more weeks in the game.
You're right. They could absolutely do it.
It's still scary.
Flush the idol this week, and then after you flush it, who do you vote out in the second vote off?
Probably Eddie.
Probably Eddie, yeah.
Eddie. So what if the favorites have to go to Tribal? I say Brandon.
Brandon, he's gone.
Yeah.
I think the fans are going to go this week and the favorites will go next week.
I do too. I think that we've got to see the fan. We're going to see the fans at Tribal again.
Mm-hmm.
So what else do we have? Is that about it?
I think we got everything.
Wow, what a... action-packed week we had.
Yeah, there's a ton of shit to talk about.
I want everybody to watch... Here's your homework. Watch the Joe Schmo Show. There's 2 episodes left. Probably the 2 best episodes ever coming up. I don't know. The last one's going to be great, obviously. Yeah, I'm just reading the chat room. There's me getting distracted by the chat room, everybody. is that it then? Are we done?
Yeah, I emptied out my plate.
All right. Well, how can people get a hold of you, Trevor?
They can catch me at Trevor, RFFradio.com.
I'm Rob at RFFradio.com, Twitter.com/RobRFF, and Facebook.com/RobRFF. As always, I'd like to thank Jay Holland Moore for calling in and, get your impressions ready to go. Send a YouTube link to him at J Holland Moore, just the letter J Holland Moore on Twitter. Before March 5th, I would say get it in by March 4th and, get your impressions ready. I would love, if you want to tag me in them, I'd love to see some of your impressions. If you're sending in an impression because you've heard it on RFF radio, let me know about it. Cause I would love to see it too. And maybe I can have some persuasion with J Holland Moore. Because obviously the contest was created to give Rob a chance of winning. Because I have no pull, apparently, any other way. I love all those guys over there, and I really appreciate all they've done for us. But that does it for us this week. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll catch you back here next Monday night.